Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Genesis 32:9. Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham, God of Isaac, my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country, to your family, and I will deal well with you. So Jacob's like, hey, listen, God, come here for a second. I want to remind you of something that you already told me. I'm about to walk into a storm, but before I do, just checking that you remember the word you gave me. Has anyone had a season in their life where they're reminding God of things that he said through his word, like God's got amnesia? Yeah. Come on, anyone been there? Yeah. Like, God, listen, my wife's not going to believe me if I tell that. Hey, remember what you said, that this was going to be okay? And we can all relate to Jacob, not that we've all wrestled God, but we can relate to Jacob in that sense. There's been seasons in our lives where it feels like, God, you really said that in the face of this? I thought you gave your word, you gave me a prompting, you gave me a peace, you spoke it through many different people, it got confirmed in your word. You told me to start this business, yet here I am, and now it's about to close down. Can I just remind you of what you said to me 10 years ago? God, can I just remind you real quick? Like, it's been a while. And there's still no child. Still barren. And I could swear that you told me a few years ago that I'd have one. But 1 year went, and 2 years, and 3 years, and 4 years. It's a statement of intent from Jacob, but also a statement filled with a bit of a wrestle. God, I'm not sure if you know, but I'm about to die. But you made me a promise that you would take care of me. He's holding onto a promise, even though, let's be honest, he's wrestling with it a bit. You can still hold on to the promises of God, but still admit you're wrestling with it a bit. Come on, Nations Belmont. You can hold on to the promises of God, but you can still admit, listen, I've got some doubt. You can still come to God and say, God, I believe. Would you help my unbelief? That is a conversation we can still have with the Lord. That's where we drop in on this story. And so in the middle of this, Jacob isn't just in a physical wrestle. He's also in a spiritual wrestle. And the text tells me four things, which I want to show to you guys in the short time I have with you. It shows me the wrestle, shows me the name change, the blessing of God, and the limp. We're going to get into those in a short while, but we have to look at the text because context is so important. We're told of this account that happens next to the Jabbok River. It was a tributary east of Jordan. It was very distinct in its location. It marked out the boundary of an old region with a new region, if you look it up in a geographical map for the Bible. And God is a God of people, and God is a God of places. And so whenever you read the Old Testament, rivers were significant because rivers weren't just literal places. They were also spiritual places. To the Jewish person, they understood that God took them out of slavery, parting a river to get to the wilderness. They understood to the Jewish person that God took them from the wilderness through a river to get to a promised land. If you study rivers throughout the Old Testament, every time you see it, it's always representative of a place of transition. It's a place of change, physically and spiritually. This is where he is. Jacob is now crossing over from an old identity to a new purpose. An old identity to a new purpose. And the other thing in the text is there is a wrestle. There's a struggle. And in this place of surrender before the Lord, Jacob is alone. He's alone. Did you read that? He sent his family onwards. He is camped out for the night by himself. He is vulnerable and he is stripped of all distractions. Can I encourage you, Nations Belmont, in this season of prayer and fasting, maybe that is the best place you can be right now. A place before the Lord where you're stripped of all distractions. A place before the Lord where it's just you and him. Because so often we see that place as a negative place, but could it be it's the place where God wants to speak to us the most clearly? So in this place, this isn't a public encounter. This is a private encounter. This is a personal encounter before the Lord. It's not just a random story in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is encouragement for us to be encouraged with, to be taught, to be corrected and training in righteousness. So when we look at it, there's actually significant application from the text to every believer in this room. Here's the two things you need to know. Number one, we have two types of wrestles. First type is this. Before you say yes to Jesus, there is a wrestle of lordship in your life. It's a wrestle of faith in your life. And it goes like this. I am my own God, and I'm now wrestling because you want to be God, but I've been used to being my own God my whole life. It's a wrestle of faith where I say yes to you, God. I repent, turn from my ways, and now I become a believer by confession, by believing in my heart, by giving my life over to you. Do you understand that? That is a wrestle pre-faith. That is when we come to the Lord, when we're giving ourselves to Him. What does Jesus say? If you want to be my disciple, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and come to me. It is literally putting your life away to come to God. That is the first wrestle we have. But it is incorrect to think that you will never have to wrestle again. It's incorrect. The wrestle that you have from that point on is the wrestle on your sanctification journey. And the wrestle looks different in different seasons of your life. Team, can you put up that table for me, please? I've gone through the Word of the Lord, and I've done a study on some different things. You got a phone, you want to take a photo of that. As you grow in Christ and you are a disciple of Jesus, you will have different types of wrestles in your life. There is the wrestle against the flesh. It's an internal battle with the sinful nature that every person is born with and carries in their life. It's why fasting is so important. It's literally a battle against the flesh. Newsflash, it's also why fasting is so hard. It's a denial of the flesh. There is a wrestle against the mind. Strongholds in the mind, lies that you may have believed, thoughts you may have submitted yourself to that aren't from God's word, but are from maybe an upbringing or a different way of living. That's why the word of God says, be renewed by your mind, by God's word. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be renewed by the word of the Lord. There's a wrestle against spiritual forces. What we're a part of isn't just physical, it's also spiritual. There is a wrestle against demonic oppression and warfare. Thank God for intercessors. Thank God for the prayer warriors. There's a wrestle then in turn in prayer. Interceding for others. Believing for your own breakthrough, but believing for the breakthrough of others in your life. There is a wrestle of endurance. In other words, when life sucks, will you keep persevering? When life is hard, will you keep going? And lastly, there's a wrestle for faith. In other words, there's a wrestle not just for your own faith, but for true faith. To know that it's the faith in God and in God alone. To know that the faith wrestle that you have is not a faith in your own self, but it's a faith in God who gave you the gift to steward in your life. This makes sense to you guys so far. I put that up there because if you read this text as just some sort of Sunday school text, hey, it's got nothing to do with me, cool story, then you miss out on the application of the text. The application of the text is not that you're as mighty as Jacob or that somehow you're stronger than God. The application of the text is every single person in this room right now is wrestling something. If I put a quiz out, it would be 100% yes to some, at least one thing on that list. So as you can see, we all wrestle something. The question isn't, what are you wrestling? The question is this, are you wrestling right or are you wrestling wrong? Are you wrestling well or are you wrestling wrong? Are you wrestling well or are you wrestling wrong? You know, in high school, went to high school, and at all boys high school, there's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of testosterone going around, right? And so we had a mate who did jiu-jitsu, and at lunchtime, you know, guys would go in the gym and they'd wrestle just so you could pin someone to the floor. We had a few friends who had kind of weak bones and you know, had their shoulders just to keep popping out. And so every time at lunchtime, when we would wrestle this guy who knew what he was doing, we'd always have one or two guys pop an elbow out or pop a shoulder. Have you ever seen someone pop a shoulder back in? Yeah, it's pretty gross. Now, have you ever seen a bunch of young dudes think they can pop a shoulder back in? That's what we did. All right, so there's a guy who knew what he was doing because he was trained. And he was like getting all the training to do it. And there was us punks thinking we could beat someone who knew what they were doing. One was wrestling well. The other was wrestling wrong. And it happens in the church. I was telling our 9 a.m. service, you know, I'm going to be 38 years old, and here's the thing, in ministry, I'm not kind of the spring chicken that I once was. I know you might think because of the new haircut, I look 21. Thank you for that. No one was thinking that, but I wanted to say that myself. But I've seen some things. I haven't seen maybe heaps that older saints have seen, but I've seen some things. And what's alarming is that because we haven't necessarily taught people how to wrestle well, and because people have viewed it as such a negative stigma, often when people are wrestling, the one place they don't go is to God. When people are wrestling, come on now, the one place they don't come to is church. Why is that? Because somehow in our minds, we've got this switch that says, oh, when I'll come to church when things are going good, when everything's better. But I want to encourage the nations of Belmont, you can wrestle and still be in fellowship. You can wrestle and still be changed by the Lord. Let me give you some examples. It's been times, and not just here at Belmont, please, but there's been times where I've noticed and I've seen it. You know, mums and dads wrestling, you know, with health issues for their kids or children that have walked away from the faith, and all of a sudden they drop away, never to be seen again in faith and in purpose. We've seen young adults wrestle with the Word of God and only to deconstruct it and then all of a sudden drop away from faith and never to be seen with purpose in the faith again. I've seen marriages wrestle and they go through covenants and then all of a sudden end in divorce and then all of a sudden one of the parties just drops away and never to be seen again. We've seen people wrestling with mental, emotional, even sexual identity, all these different things all of a sudden fall away from the faith, never to be seen again. But I want to tell you, that's not God's heart. That's not His best for His children. And for every one of those examples, I know there is 10, 20, 30 examples of people who went from a disappointed faith to a deeper faith. It's possible in wrestling with the Lord that you can go from a disappointed faith to a deeper faith. Come on, you out there. It's possible to do that. So how do we do that, Gaz? Well, we do that by wrestling well, not wrestling wrong. Here's some tips that the text gives us. First thing is this, wrestling well is solitude, wrestling wrong is isolation. It's a huge difference. Jesus is sent, remember last week, He's sent to the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights. He's sent to be tested. When a Jewish person heard that, straight away they would have thought solitude. In Jewish culture, to hear from the Lord, they would actually go into the wilderness. In the New Testament, because they knew in the Old Testament, where did God speak to Abraham? In the wilderness. Where did God speak to Moses? In the wilderness. Where did He speak to David? In the wilderness. So they knew every hero of the faith, God spoke to them in the wilderness. So they knew when they heard Jesus go to the wilderness, He wasn't going to isolation, He was going to solitude. The two are a huge difference. Solitude is deliberate and purposeful withdrawal from people, to spend time with God, to reflect, to pray, or to find renewal. Biblical solitude is always a pause, never a permanent state. Biblical solitude is always a pause, never a permanent state. Isolation is withdrawing without returning. Withdrawing without returning. And isolation is withdrawing out of fear, shame, hurt, sin. The list can go on and on. Jacob stops. He stops for the night. He stops, but he knows where he has to get to. You say, "What, God, that's pretty random." It's not random that he sent his family ahead of him. Number one, he probably thought it might slow Esau down if he came and attacked him. But, you know, the other main thing is that his greatest treasure in life was ahead of him. Come on now. He couldn't stay there in isolation because he knew that he would have to go to his family. So he sends his family away because when he gets scared and when he starts to camp out there night after night, he realizes, oh man, my family need me. This wasn't a statement of isolation. This was a statement of solitude. Let me give you an example. Stuff goes on in my life and I say, hey church, listen, I've got to take some time. I've got to go to a prayer presbytery and I just need time with the Lord. And, you know, it might be a week, might be a couple of weeks, whatever. So I'm there, right? And, you know, 5 weeks later, 8 weeks later, you're like, man, I haven't seen guys at church in a while. And you know, 10 weeks goes past, 3 months goes past, 6 months goes past. You see a little Instagram update from me. Hey guys, listen, Pastor Gaz here. Man, life's so good. Just chilling right now at a prayer presbytery. Oh man, no more school runs to do. Like, oh man, no more dishwashers to pack. Oh man, like, you'd be like, man, I got to find a new pastor. Right, come on. Why? Because I've taken what was solitude and then turned it into isolation. I've neglected my duties as a father with my family. You would be like, man, that's not right. And my righteous anger with the enemy is that he has twisted and contorted this truth so much in Christianity, especially Western 21st century Christianity. And he'll say to believers, hey, no, take some time, but take a little bit longer. And a little longer still, and a little longer still. And before you know it, what they thought was solitude becomes isolation. Becomes isolation. I've sat with so many people on different couches. I've heard stories, and my heart breaks. I say, guys, I need some time out. I say, yeah, cool, let's do it. Let's get you healed. Let's get you right. 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, what's the time frame? Do you know, very rarely has anyone ever answered that question back to me. Because the enemy's already sown a lie into their heads. So they get offended when I say that. Well, Gary, what do you mean 12 months? I said, yeah, take time to heal. But don't get isolated. Take time because you're better in, we're the body of Christ. Have a think about how crazy this example would be. I break my arm, right? Break my arm, it's part of my body. Doctor says to me, hey, listen, he's got to go on a cast for, what is it, like 2 months or something? Whatever it is, I don't know. 2 months. Goes in the cast for 2 months. It's in a cast, and I say to myself, you know what, Gaz? I really would love to play that basketball game with Sam Bads today, you know? So, I really don't have a need for this left arm, and it's going to heal in the cast anyway. So, I cut it off, leave it in my bedroom, because the doctor said, the arm will heal in the cast. It needs to heal. So, I take it away from the body to leave it to heal. You guys would be, guys, that's crazy. Too many times as believers, we do that. Stay in the cast. Heal in the cast. Stay attached to the body. Stay attached to the body. It would be insane if you said, guys, no, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. You'd bleed to death. Like, I'm not a doctor or a nurse, but you'd bleed to death. Don't do that. Don't live a life isolated. Live a life in solitude. This is okay so far. That's what wrestling well is. Proverbs 18:1. He who isolates himself, listen to this, seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Guys, why are you saying this? Because as a pastor, do we need to keep the sheep together? The enemy will devour people when they are by themselves. We are better together. And you might say, guys, how do I discern isolation from solitude? Let me ask you this. I'll answer that question with a question. Are you wrestling or are you running? Because I found that isolation is usually running away from God, but solitude is usually wrestling with God. Isolation is usually running away from God. Solitude is wrestling with God. Is this okay so far? Let's go to the next point. Wrestling well is to be changed, but wrestling wrong is to be right. We wrestle well to be changed, but it's a wrong form of wrestling to try just to be right. We heard the story of Jacob before. Name means supplanter. Lesser version means deceiver. And he carried this name his whole life. And he wrestles with God, and God gives him a new name, Israel. He struggles with God, or God prevails. It's a sign of identity transformation. And here's the thing, sometimes as Christians, we confuse our encounters with the Lord because we want the encounter to be on our terms. Or we want to encounter the Lord when it's convenient to us. Or we want to encounter the Lord when it looks good in our schedules. God, I'll encounter you when I don't have to change too much. And sadly, what too many believers do at times is we wrestle with God to not be changed rather than to be changed. We wrestle with God because God, don't touch that area, don't do that. And we wrestle because we don't want to be changed. But the correct way to wrestle is to be changed. I'm not wrestling to change God's mind. I'm wrestling with the Lord. So God, would you change my heart? Would you change my ways? Would you change my way of thinking? What is that? It's repentance. It's changing of the heart. That's what happens when we wrestle well with the Lord. Can I go a bit deeper? The point of the story isn't to show how strong Jacob is. It's not. It's like, man, listen, Jacob, man, if I was his PT, I'd be like, man, good job, Jacob. You held, man, you held it down with God. Good job. I'll put him on a poster in all the gyms. If you want to be like Jacob, just find me. I'm his PT, right? Like, it's not to show how strong Jacob was. And the point of the story isn't to show how weak God is, because that would also be heresy. The point of the story is to show that when you willingly wrestle with the Lord, you have to be changed. When you willingly surrender to the Lord, you have to be changed. Here's the issue. We want to be right. God, I'll allow the wrestle to happen, but I don't want to be changed. I just want to win the next social media argument. God, I'll allow you I'll wrestle with the word or scripture, but I'm wrestling because at the next family gathering, I want to have the best answer that's going to blow everybody else away. Hear me clearly. Have good doctrine, have sound doctrine, lean into apologetics, all that stuff. Please do that. But don't do it at the expense of transformation. Don't do it at the expense of transformation. That's what Jesus says to the Pharisees, John 5:39. You want to look through all your scriptures you got. You think somehow you can find a fancy answer to try and show how good you are, yet I stand before you, the secret to eternal life, and yet you do not even know. That was his word to the religious rulers at the time. Let's wrestle with the Lord. Hard seasons, tough seasons, seasons of emotional betrayal, all that kind of stuff, so that we are changed. And the list goes on and on and on and on. We want to wrestle at different things. And God, you know what? I'll wrestle with you around areas of my identity, or I'll wrestle with you around areas of finance, whatever it is. But we wrestle often because we want to be right, because our feelings somehow is superior to God's word. Let your feelings draw you closer to God through faith, but don't elevate them above God. Don't elevate those feelings above the Lord. Don't elevate them above his word, above his ways. Wrestle well. Wrestle well. In Western culture, we can sometimes read, especially 21st century, we can read the story and it can be easily misconstrued as, you know, well, Jacob said, you know, bless me, and, you know, I'm putting that demand on God, bless me. But in its context, theologians would put it in this way, that Jacob was wrestling with someone all night. We have hindsight now, reading the story back. Jacob doesn't know in the moment. You guys following me? He's wrestling with what we now know as a theophany, a pre-incarnate Christ at the time. He doesn't know that at the time. And he's been wrestling all night, and it's like he has a moment where he realizes, man, we've been wrestling all night and I can't win. And it's like it clicks to him because of the supernatural thing that I'm in right now, because I can't win, let me ask for what I know Abraham got. Let me ask, so Abraham, I heard about his relationship with the supernatural deity. I heard that he had a relationship with Yahweh, and my dad spoke about Yahweh. I've heard it through Genesis. Could this be him? And so he's crying. It's a statement of surrender. He's saying, God, bless me, because I can't win in my own strength. That's what he's saying. Every person in this room, you can't win a wrestle in your own strength. Come on now. You cannot win the wrestles of this world in your own strength. There has to be a point in your wrestle where you yell out, God, help me. God, what is the blessing of God? The blessing of God, his favor, his grace, his kindness, his mercy. That is a cry from your heart when you're in the wrestle and you realize, man, this is hard. I cannot win in my own strength. And you tap out, and that's when you say, God, I need your supernatural power. It's an act of full surrender. It's an act saying that, God, I'm not God, you are. You can get a handle on this wrestle better than I can. But Gaz, wasn't the blessing, like, wasn't it like a new name and what, a limp? What kind of blessing is that? What kind of bless, like, God, at least bless the dude with, like, some cattle. Like, because if Esau comes, you know, he can ride away quicker or get, like, do you ever read the Bible and, like, because my head goes there, I'm like, God, you could have blessed him with, like, a bow and arrow. Like, if Esau's coming close and he's like, oh, he's got a sword, I got a bow and arrow, stay back. You know, like, bless him with something he can use. He blesses him, catch this, with the opposite thing that would be the most beneficial to get away from a brother that wants to kill him. Think about that. full strength Esau, I'm going to kill you. And Jacob's like, come and get me. It doesn't make sense. Have you ever thought of that? It doesn't make sense. Bless the dude with supernatural speed so he can get away quicker. Wrestling well is a new name and a new limp. Wrestling wrong is an old name being unchanged. We read through a theophany that God, through his son, gives Jacob a new name, Israel. The picture of Christ is littered all throughout Old and New Testament. And all in the New Testament, Jesus is in the business of giving new names. He gives new names to his disciples. He, through his spirit, Paul, gives new names to the early church. He gives believers new names because believers at the time, day of Pentecost has come, they're full of the Holy Spirit. They want to do great things for God. And so now Paul's in this space where he's trying to like disciple people and they're getting thrown in jail. They're getting tied in hardship of life. Like the Roman government doesn't want a bar of them. Read later on, like Nero comes and he does a fire and blames on the Christians. This is hard times for believers. And they're wrestling. Do we go back to the law? Do we go back to what we believe before to Judaism? Do we go back to our old way of life? At least this way people will respect us. We won't go to jail. People won't blame us for the fire. You can understand the Christian wrestle at the time. And in the wrestle that believers go through, listen to what Paul says is their name in Romans 8:17 and 8:37. In 8:17, it says, need I remind you that since Jesus paid it all, you now have the victory. And since you share in his victory, how much more you're suffering. And that leads us to verse 37. For then we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. John says it this way. He has a vision of heaven and he has a vision of the angel of the Lord and he has a vision of the scroll opening up and he has a vision of what the Lord is then speaking in end times to his church and telling him, I'm reminding you of what the Lord said to me to tell the church, to him who overcomes by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, I will give a new name. What does it mean? It means in Christ, your identity is already secure. Here's the thing. You wrestle from victory, not for victory. You got to understand that your identity in Christ is you're wrestling from victory, not for victory. And I want to encourage someone in the room, maybe you've been through a few wrestles in your lifetime. Maybe you're going through one right now. Your limp is proof of your wrestle, but your name is proof of your win. Come on now. Your limp is proof of your wrestle, but your name is proof of your win. Every single person in this room has a limp. And if you're one of the 0.001% that doesn't, you're probably about to get one. Not like no one kicked them right now. Don't give them a physical limp. But like, you know, spiritually, everyone's got one. Everyone's got one. Me and Jess have one. We had the miscarriage. We had the dark night. We had questions. We had doubts. We had fears. Broken promises, so to speak. Like, what? Us? Thought we were doing everything right. Us, really? Here's the thing. Before the situation happened, before that limp, we had the name of overcomers. When the situation happened, we had the name of overcomers. After the situation happened, we had the name of overcomers. That name has not changed since I said yes to Jesus. When I said yes to Jesus, Gareth, middle name, overcomer, Fosdyke. Right? The name was given when I said yes to Jesus. The limp I walk with. We gotta not be ashamed of our limp. Your limp can be your biggest testimony to others about the goodness and the grace and the kindness of God. Too many people, I've seen this so often in church. Is this okay? This is a pastor speaking. This is a family message. Too many people let their limp mark them as a victim instead of a victor. Too many. Like, why do it? Either God's word is true or it's not. If it's not true, why bother coming to church? Honestly, like, it's a waste of your time. If it's not true, just bail on Christianity. If God's word's not true, why pretend? But if it's true, Your name hasn't changed since you said yes to Jesus. So why is everyone in church so afraid of the limp? Why? Why do I say that? Because I say that because, man, as a pastor, I find out limp testimonies 20 years later. Dude, what are you, what, why? Have we done bad in our church or the culture with that? Have we brought a culture of shame and toxicity about? I don't think we have. Because, dude, there was a dude I met 6 years ago. Things ended so terribly. And he could have used the testimony of your limp 15 years ago. We have to understand that the limp marks us not as a victim, but as a victor. Your limp is proof of your wrestle, but your name is proof of your win. When I read the Bible, I sometimes, I'm just always asking questions about it. Like, things just, I'm like, why that? Why that? Like, that's weird. Why that? The question I asked when I was reading this, right, was, I actually feel sometimes really sorry for people when I read their account. I'm like, why him, God? Everyone else gets a good deal and him. Jacob got ripped off. He says, hey, listen, in the wrestle, he's wrestling. Theophany, it's with Jesus. And in the wrestle, he says, listen, my wife or my two wives, let alone, they're not going to believe the story. They're not. Just give me a name. Give me something that when I see the grandchildren, that I can at least say them a name, right? I can tell them a name. And he gets no answer back. Do you notice that? I'm just going to call you Israel. No, but hold on, whoa. I asked the question, what's your name? I didn't want you to ask me my name and then give me a new name, give me a lift. I just want to know, who am I speaking to? What is your name? And it leads me to ask the question, what do you do in a wrestle when you feel like God's silent? What do you do in a wrestle where you feel like God's not giving you the answer you want? Oh man, that's a whole other sermon. What do you do when God says no? What do you do when God says no? What do you do when you don't get what you feel like you're entitled to? I've seen too many people, Christians, give up on the wrestle because they didn't get what they thought they were entitled to. The answer they were entitled to, the gifting or the calling that they were entitled to. What do you do? Because I would just keep going. Here's what's interesting in the story of Jacob, right? He starts off wanting to do what? Control the narrative. Remember, God works in the intricacies of a whole person's story. Starts off clinging his brother's heel. I want to control how this birth goes. I want to control what happens next. He gets the firstborn blessing. I want to control how I live the rest of my life. Jacob's whole life was about him controlling. And in a wrestle, he's not asking because he wants to tell his family. He's asking because he wants control. I want to control the narrative. I want to know who I'm wrestling with. I want to know your name so that I can think about what my next response is going to be. I can think about what I'm going to do next. I can think about who I'm going to tell next. I need to control the narrative. And it's like God knows what's best for him. He doesn't even answer it. It's as if God's saying to him, you've wanted to control every narrative of your life, but in this wrestle, you don't control it. It's a reminder to us as Christians that sometimes in the wrestle, we don't have control. And maybe that's the best place to be. Maybe that's the best place to be, to actually, see, when you don't have control, it's almost like you automatically have to surrender. Come on now. Maybe the reason you're in the wrestle, I don't know the sovereignty and the divine plan of God for your life, but maybe one of the reasons you're in it is simply because you have to relinquish control. Relinquish control. Surrender to the Lord. Band, you guys can join me. Another thing that we have to understand when wrestling well and wrestling wrong is that we can wrestle well, and whenever we do that, it's a spiritual battle. When we wrestle wrong, it becomes a personal battle. I love last week, Pastor Chrissy said, she's something on the lines of, you know, yeah, not everything is spiritual. Like sometimes you just lose your keys. Like there, that's on you. But Other times, it is significantly spiritual. And we can't over-spiritualize everything, but more often than not in the local church, we've been at danger of not spiritualizing things enough. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and empowered in his might. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I want to encourage you, Nations Belmont, our battle, our wrestle, it's spiritual, not personal. There's too many believers walking around with personal vendettas against people. Yeah. Can we just talk about it for a second? They're like, that's not, I don't think Jesus was like, hey, Father, man, look at these people. I pray that as we're one, that they would be one. And I don't believe that it was in God's divine plan for Christians to be like, sweet call, Jesus, I'm out. We're going to just be lots of different people, lots of different denominations. We're going to hate each other. There's too much personal vendettas. It's not personal, it's spiritual. We've got to put down the dishonor. We've got to put down the disunity within the church and also outside the church. The shopping attendant that didn't give you a nice warm smile when you finished paying and didn't say have a great afternoon, they're not your enemy. They're not your enemy. They just have a veil over their eyes because all they know is the kingdom of darkness. All they know how to operate. It's not on them to be loving and kind. They don't have the source of love that you do. You've got the source of love. You've got the spiritual ability and the giftings and the callings and the spiritual armor that you put on yourself. It's not personal. It's spiritual. Wrestling well is engaging in prayer. Engaging in prayer by His Spirit, resisting temptation, persisting in purpose. That's why prayer and fasting is so important. I want to encourage you to be on this journey with us. And you might be in your seat saying, guys, listen, man, the wrestle sounds hard. You don't understand, guys, this wrestle with addiction, it's hard. This wrestle in the flesh, it's hard. This wrestle believing for breakthrough in that area, I've been believing for 20 years. Guys, it is hard. This wrestle for endurance of faith, we show this verses before, it's hard. I'm under no illusion that it is hard. I'm not going to sell you a false promise today. But do you know there is one huge difference in the text between Jacob and every single person in this room? Pentecost. Jacob had the Holy Spirit upon him. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And the only reason I can speak about this being a spiritual battle is because Jesus has given us spiritual giftings and tools to help us win the battle. How cruel if he was like, hey, it's a spiritual battle, but by the way, I'm not giving you a sword. I'm not giving you a shield. No. By the Spirit, put on the breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit. Come on now. Walk with the shoes of peace, the helmet of salvation. It's a spiritual battle. It's not a personal battle. It's a spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing everything into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. So my closing thought to you, Nations Belmont, isn't are you wrestling? It's are you wrestling well or are you wrestling wrong? That's the closing thought. Because we're all on a wrestle. Every person in this room, it's 100% yes. We're all wrestling. If you don't know Jesus yet as Lord and Savior, there's a wrestle in your spirit right now. There's kingdom forces at work in your spirit right now. Kingdom of darkness wanting to keep you there. The kingdom of light wanting to rescue and take you out of darkness, put you into His glorious light. That's what the Bible says. But if you're a believer, there is a wrestle inside of you right now. There's a wrestle for everyone in this room. I want to be known as a church, as a campus, that allows people to wrestle well. That allows people to wrestle well. I don't care what you're wrestling in the week. You come worship with us. I don't care what that addiction's been for the last 10 years. You come lift your hands in worship and still thank the Lord for the cross. I don't care if you've been believing for breakthrough for 20 years. Come to a prayer meeting. Continue believing. If you feel like, man, I'm the biggest of sinners in this room. There's no way I could even sit through. God's love is way greater than that statement. way greater. Be in the house. And I want to encourage some of you saints in the room right now. Maybe there's people in your world and you know they're not wrestling well. Don't judge them. Show the love of God to them. Bring them back. There's too many saints over the years that have fallen away. I know because I'm in a Christian soccer league and I talk to families all the time, all the time. Story keeps coming out. I used to be in the faith 10 years ago. I used to be in the faith 20 years ago. I used to be. You could literally make 3 full churches with the amount of Christian families at that soccer oval. What happened? People not wrestling well. I don't want to be that kind of church. Let's be a church that wrestles well. Amen. Would you put your stuff away? You can stand to your feet. Holy Spirit, I pray you spoke so clearly to every heart. Just bow your heads, close your eyes in the presence of the Lord. Maybe deep down inside of you, there is a wrestle right now. And it's a wrestle like I spoke about where you don't know Jesus. It's a wrestle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And maybe right now, your heart's pounding. You're thinking, man, I don't know, guys. I don't know if I could come home. Things I've done, the places I've been. If you knew the things that I've done, and if you knew the places that I've been, you'd know I could counter that argument. The hand of the Lord is not too short that it cannot save you from however far you've run away. And His love is not so shallow that it cannot baptize you afresh because He loves you so much. You don't need to wrestle any longer in the darkness. Step out, come to the light.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.